As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Donnie Chedrick with you on 93.7 The Fan until 10:35 tonight. Charlie Borges is with me behind the glass. Still plenty to get into a little bit later on. We have a Borges hockey roundup in about 25 minutes or so with a lot going on in the hockey world. Right now we go out to the fan hotline again. We welcome in Jarrett Bailey, NFL writer, works with the Sporting News, USA Today, also does some work locally with Behind the Steel Curtain. Slippery Rock guy Jarrett joins us right now. And if you're watching on our fan video feed on our YouTube channel, you can obviously see Jarrett in the split box here. Jarrett, we'll start with the Steelers, then we'll get into a little bit more NFL at large stuff here. I posed an interesting question to Nick Faribault. I'm sure you're familiar with him and his work with PennLive.com, discussing the Steelers' best offensive player and why it might actually be Zach Frazier already, second year of his career.
I'm not surprised that Nick said it was Zach Frazier, knowing Nick as well as I do, knowing his love of interior offensive line play. But I don't necessarily disagree. Like, I understand why he would make that point. I mean, look at the way Zach Frazier played last year as a rookie. I mean, you can already make the argument that he's a top 7 to 5 center in the NFL. Like, I don't think that's too far of a stretch, especially with Frank Ragnow retiring. That takes one out of the, out of the deck. So he stepped in a position that the Steelers have had a position of need at since Marquise Pouncey retired, and immediately became potentially the next great center in franchise history and a franchise that has a lot of great ones. So I wouldn't push back too much on it. You know, I think I would probably just take the easy route and say it's probably DK Metcalf. But in terms of, like, if you want to go positional rankings, like, would Zach Frazier rank higher in center rankings than DK Metcalf would in receiver rankings? Probably. So, like I said, I wouldn't push back too much on saying that Zach Frazier is the current best Steelers offensive player.
What we can definitively say is that the quarterback is not the best player in the offense, nor has it been that way for quite some time in Pittsburgh. Where do you come down on the entire situation? Because we haven't really talked about that at all. Do you expect Aaron Rodgers to be here? And how does that change your view of this team, assuming he is?
Yeah, I mean, all signs point to him being here, right? Art Rooney seems pretty confident that he's going to eventually show up. When that will be, I've stopped trying to put any sort of timeline on it, because anytime that I think that, you know, you can kind of circle a date, it's like, okay, this could be it. You know, it goes by without anything happening. So I've tried to stop speculating on when it'll happen. I do think it will happen, again, just because all signs point to it happening. Art Rooney seems confident it's going to happen. And, you know, where else is he going to go? I think that the whole Minnesota thing was more or less agent work, trying to, you know, get a little bit more for him monetarily, maybe, or, you know, maybe just draw up a little bit more interest. But I think it will be in a Steelers uniform where we'll see Aaron Rodgers again. When that'll happen, who knows? You'd like to think it'll be ahead of mandatory minicamp. That way we can stop talking about it and have, you know, kind of a more clear picture of what the team will look like as a whole in 2025 rather than carry this thing out even further. But I do think he'll be there. And in terms of what it does for them, at minimum, I think it'll make them as good as they were last year. I think Rodgers right now, despite how bad the Jets were a year ago, I still think that he is at minimum as good as what Russell Wilson was last year. And despite, you know, how bad his team was, he still threw 28 touchdowns last year, which, you know, in a vacuum, it's the same amount that Josh Allen threw. And I know that that's comparing apples to oranges and whatnot because Josh had 13, 14 rushing touchdowns. But especially down the stretch in the final 5-6 weeks of the season, you kind of saw that old Aaron Rodgers flash. And if they can get, I don't know, what, the 18th best quarterback in football, then, you know, they can be where they were last year, win 9-10 games, be a playoff team, and then it comes down to can they end the playoff drought. So I do think if he's there, they'll be right back in the mix of, you know, being in a similar spot that they've been in over the last 4 or 5 years. And then depending on the luck of the draw, maybe they'll win a playoff game and finally end this long drought.
How many teams, or I guess how many stadiums could they go into, assuming they're a road team, could they beat to end that playoff drought? Because I'm still not convinced, even if they win, let's say, 10 or 11 with Aaron Rodgers at the absolute best, I'm still not convinced that the playoff drought comes to an end.
I'm not necessarily either. I think, let's start at the top. They're not going into Arrowhead and winning. They're not going into Buffalo and winning. I doubt that they would go into Baltimore or Cincinnati and win. So really, it just comes down to, can you get the 5 seed and play whoever wins the AFC South? Because they can go into Houston and win, I think. That offense, right now on paper, like, Stroud's awesome. But outside of that, man, the offensive line is a big question mark. Outside of Nico Collins, not really a receiver there that scares you right now. We'll see what happens with Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel. And look, what if Jacksonville wins the AFC South? They can go to Duval and win. If Tennessee surprises a lot of people and pulls similar to what the Texans did a couple years ago, win the division with a rookie quarterback, they can go into Nashville and win. So it would be – they'd have to do themselves a lot of favors and win games, probably 11, I would say, to get that 5 seed. But if they can get the luck of playing the AFC South, I think that they could beat the AFC South team. But any of the powerhouses in the conference, Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore, Cincinnati, no. I don't think that they can go on the road and win.
Now, let's say that the Rodgers thing doesn't happen. He leaves them at the altar. How much does that ceiling for the team change if it would be Mason Rudolph all season?
Yeah, I mean, it goes down. It doesn't go down as drastically as everybody says it will. We do this thing every year, man, where the cycle repeats of, oh, man, it's finally going to be the year. The Steelers are going to win 6 games, and then they win 9 or 10, and we start the whole cycle over. I can't remember who it was, and I don't want to, like, call anybody out or anything like that. But somebody said, oh, they're going to go 4-13 if Mason Rudolph's a starter. I know Orlovsky said they'd start 0-6. A, they haven't started 0-6 since 1968. That's not happening. Whoever is under center, you or I could be quarterback, and they'll find a way to win at least one game. And they're not going to go 4-13. Like, Mason is a high quality backup quarterback. I don't think he's, you know, a starting guy in the NFL, but he's shown in the past, you know, the last time he was in a Steelers uniform, they won their last 3 games. And, you know, for what it's worth, while they got down against Buffalo, they clawed their way back a little bit, and he played respectable in doing that. And the last time they needed him to be a long-term starter was 2019, and he's grown a lot since then, and they still ended up going 8-8 that year. So the whole notion that the Steelers are going to just fall off a cliff if Mason Rudolph's the starter, like, yeah, they're not going to be a Super Bowl team, but they're not going to be, you know, picking number one overall either. Like, I think it's just, it becomes insanity where we're just bashing our heads against the wall, expecting a different result with all these people saying, oh, actually, I think this is going to be the year that the Steelers will be horrible. I just don't think that's ever going to happen.
Broderick Jones seemingly going to finally make that move over to left tackle in what is the most important season of his young career. Do you think that change finally makes things click, or are you still kind of worried about his game?
I mean, yeah, he's the biggest question mark on the offensive line, but for all of Broderick's struggles, I think a lot of that can be attributed to the fact that since he was drafted, they've moved him around so much. You know, he spent the majority of his time at right tackle, but you know, going into seasons, okay, he's going to play right, he's going to play left, or you know, trying him out at both. So I think that does something to a player's mentality and you know, the muscle memory of it, where you know, this isn't Madden where you can just switch a guy from right to left tackle, his overall stays the same, and it doesn't mean anything. You know, it's learning a whole new position. So I think going back to his, you know, original spot at left tackle, which they drafted him to be, I think that'll certainly help. And I think it's also going to help that, you know, you got Isaac Smolo next to him, got Zach Frazier in the middle. So you have a strong core there. And it took a little bit to rebuild that core, but, you know, you have guys up front that you can lean on. And so if he can be like what Dan Moore was and a little bit better, like on his best day, Dan Moore was a, you know, solid left tackle. On his worst days, it wasn't very good. But if he can just find some sort of balance and be a middle of the pack left tackle, then the offensive line, I think, will be largely fine, considering that he is the biggest wild card of the bunch. But if he can just be, like I said, a middle of the pack, just solid starter, then I think that that's, you know, a really good result for this year.
It feels like every single Steelers writer, every single person that covers the team, that the guy that they are most excited for out of this draft class is Caleb Johnson. Now, this time of year certainly helps out a running back, because the big guys, you know, how much can they do when it's football and shorts? But Johnson seems like somebody who is saying all of the correct things and acting the way of somebody who could absolutely be a starting running back, a 1,000-yard running back.
Yeah, he looks like he's made of marble, too. He's chiseled. He's built like a guy that you want to have be your bell cow. Yeah, and a lot of people pre-draft like made the comps to Najee Harris because like he didn't run the fastest 40. The home run ability to his game was pretty evident at Iowa, and I think that there is a little bit more explosiveness with him than there was with Najee. So, I think, and you know, speaking of Nick Farwell, him and I talked about this recently, where he made a good point saying that the immediate start, you know, between the, you know, week one and week five, it might be a little bit hit and miss. But once the season gets going and he gets more comfortable, I think that's when we'll see him have those, you know, bigger gains on the ground, have, you know, maybe a few more 100-yard games and just become more comfortable in the offense. It might take a little bit where there's going to be some growing pains, but once the season gets going and he gets more comfortable in an NFL backfield and gets more carries and just gets more acclimated with being an NFL running back, I think that the long-term future is going to be really good for him. Again, first month or so of the season might be a little bit chippy, and they might lean on Jalen Warren a little bit more compared to what they will at the end of the year. But this is a guy that I think can be, you know, a really quality starter for them. And like you said, he's doing all the right things, and he fits the bill for what they want in the backfield. And the fact that they got him where they got him, I think, surprised a lot of people too. You know, he's a guy that I know I didn't expect to make it out of the second round, and the fact that they got him in round three, you know, it could end up being a big steal for them.
TJ Watt, another contract chat off season with the Steelers, where we don't know when it will be resolved. It could be right before that first game, like it was the last time in 2021. How would you, Jarrett, if you were in charge of things, how would you handle TJ Watt? Would you give him the 40 plus million that he's looking for, or would you have looked for a trade partner before we got well into this offseason?
Yeah, and I want to preempt my answer with saying that, like, obviously TJ Watt's going to walk into the Hall of Fame. He's going to be a Ring of Honor member, one of the best Steelers of all time. It doesn't make sense for them to give him $40 million a year, because in the absolute prime of his career, they couldn't get the job done, and they're further away from doing that now that, and he's in his 30s. So, like, it just... And I'll say this too. It didn't make sense to me for the Raiders to pay Max Crosby, and it didn't make sense for me for the Browns to pay Myles Garrett. Not that those guys aren't tremendous, but where those teams are, I just don't know why you're giving up so much money when, for the Raiders, I understand they hired Pete Carroll and they, you know, got Geno Smith and they, you know, got a few more grown-ups in the building, but that's still a team who's several pieces away from a Super Bowl. I feel the exact same way about the Steelers, where I just don't see the value in paying a guy who, for all intents and purposes, is past his prime. He's coming off a year in which, going through the entire year, he had the fewest sacks of his career for playing a full season. So I think the best thing that they could do, both and for him too, is send him to a team, a contender, that'll give you good draft picks in return. You know, if he wants to go back to Wisconsin, call the Packers and say, hey, will you give us some good draft picks for TJ Watt? Green Bay's in a position where he would immediately make that team maybe the favorite in the NFC. So I think for me, it doesn't make sense for the Steelers to pay him. But if you're a team like Green Bay, if you're a team like Buffalo, if you're one of these contenders who is one piece away from potentially getting over the top, if you're a team like the Rams, any of these teams that are one piece away from cementing themselves as a real Super Bowl team that can win, it makes a lot more sense, in my opinion, to ship them away. And I know a lot of fans won't like that. But giving a guy $40 million because you want him to be a one-helmet guy because the fans like him, that's just not good business, and it's not going to help you long-term. So love TJ. He's going to be he's walking into the Hall of Fame, one of the best Steelers of all time. It doesn't make sense for the Steelers to pay him $40 million a year.
They should probably ask the Packers if they would make that call for one of the, half dozen wide receivers they have, too, because, I mean, what – should their plan be behind DK Metcalf? This is a reason why, as much of a headache as George Pickens was, I really wasn't huge on that trade, because the fear that I had is unfortunately probably going to be what happens, that they just run it forward with what they have. 30-plus-year-old Robert Woods, Roman Wilson, who has proven nothing, but he'll look good in training camp, and then Calvin Austin, who had a nice season, but he has a clear ceiling to his game.
I agree with you on a lot of the things that you just said. So let me rewind a little bit. In terms of the Pickens trade, I was the one who, I shouldn't say the one, but I was one of many who, as soon as they acquired Metcalf, he said, oh, they're trading Pickens. And I understand that where you're coming from, saying the behind-the-scenes stuff, you didn't really care too much about it. They clearly did, where it just became too much, and they're like, we're going to send him away. And if they weren't going to pay him anyway, it's good that they got something for him at least. There's no guarantee that they would have gotten like the highest possible comp pick, depending on how he played, what money he would have gotten. So I understand why they did what they did. In terms of the guys that they can bring in, I mean, there's not really a lot left, right? You know, if you want to trade for a guy, you know, the reports a few weeks ago saying that they called about Chris Olave, which would lead us to assume that they've called about other guys. Maybe Green Bay was one of those calls. You know, Romeo Doubs is a guy that would make sense to me. Green Bay has so many guys. So if it's not him, you know, it could be Dontayvion Wicks. Maybe it's Jaden Reed. Like, there's a lot of guys there that they could target. But yeah, free agency-wise, it's Keenan Allen, Amari Cooper. Elijah Moore's now in Buffalo. I felt like that could have been a really good signing to put on the perimeter. He had 61 catches last year with the Browns. I felt like he could have done a lot worse than that. But obviously, they didn't go that route. I do think that right now they're in a better spot than what they were a year ago, because we at least know Calvin Austin can play and be, you know, a quality third or fourth target in the offense. But you are right, there is a very clear ceiling to his game. And if I see, like, one more Twitter account, what, Roman Wilsonberg tweet a video of him running routes against air and shorts, talking about how he's going to be a 1,000-yard receiver, I'm going to bang my head into a wall because I'm already tired of seeing that. You're right, he has proven nothing. And until he does show something on the field, I'm not going to assume that he's just going to step in and be like a quality pass catcher. They need to go get somebody. We'll see who that person ends up being. I would like to think that they'll add at least one more body to this offense, but the way that management has been talking, they don't seem all that eager to do it. But then again, you know, when it comes to owners and GMs talking, a lot of that is, you know, you got to take it with a grain of salt. So we'll see. They definitely do need to add somebody. But like I said, I do think they are in a little bit better of a spot than they were last year. I think that Metcalf is an upgrade over Pickens. We know that Calvin Austin can at least do a little bit. Robert Woods is probably an upgrade over Van Jefferson too. So we'll see what they end up doing. Maybe they'll trade for Kyle Pitts. What do you think, Donnie?
they're going to add as many tight ends as possible, and I'm sure Kyle Pitts would be really excited to be paired with Arthur Smith again, too. Talking to Jarrett Bailey, NFL writer here on 93.7 The Fan, you might have mentioned his name here in the slew of wide receivers, but I also follow your stuff enough, Jarrett, to know that you are also a big fan of the Buffalo Bills. They had Amari Cooper there back half of last season, but he got put on the side of a milk carton. Why did he get lost in the shuffle there? And is he still somebody that could contribute to a team like Pittsburgh?
I think a lot of it was the offense and not going through one guy. The whole everybody eats mentality that Buffalo had last year, it was a real thing. But He just kind of, he was basically a decoy a lot of the time. Like anytime he's on the field, you got to account for him. And that opened up stuff for different guys like Khalil Shakir, the run game with James Cook, Mac Hollins, who led them in touchdown receptions last year. So I don't think that the lack of production was necessarily him falling off a cliff. He was also dealing with an injury. He missed some games as well. But if you go back and watch the Kansas City game in the regular season, he had two huge catches, one of which was like an over-the-shoulder sideline grab that showed like he can still track the ball. He still got really good field awareness, and he's still good at, you know, making those catches downfield. So I think wherever he goes, he's going to be, you know, he getting older, obviously, but he's still a quality receiver who – in the right system can age gracefully to be like a number two or number two B in an offense. So, I mean, if he's the guy that they bring in, I'm all for it. I'm on board with it. It just depends on what they see in him. And if they want to go that route, you know, they traded Pickens, who's more of a deep threat and somewhat redundant to DK Metcalf. Are they going to see Amari Cooper as being similar to that? We'll see, but I wouldn't be against him being the guy that they bring in.
A few NFL at-large questions here for you, Jarrett. My feeling right now is that I want to pick the Bills to either get to or win the Super Bowl. Now, that might be the kiss of death, but Josh Allen coming off an MVP season, how can he repeat that? And do you think they could finally get over that Patrick Mahomes playoff hump?
Yeah, I mean, anybody who has followed my work for any amount of time knows that I pray to my Lord and Savior, Joshua Patrick Allen, every night before bed. So that would be great to see him finally get one. And look, man, they've been close several times. The biggest thing for them has been the defense against Kansas City in the playoffs. They've played them four times in the postseason. The offense in those four games is averaging over 28 points a game, and they've lost all four. So it's pretty easy to find where the fault lies in Buffalo, and that the defense in the biggest moments comes up short. They've done a lot to address that this offseason, and they heavily drafted defensive linemen and edge rushers. They signed Joey Bosa, who they should probably like put in a cryogenic chamber until wild card weekend just to make sure that he's available. So they've gone a long way to try to make their defense better. And if it can just be, it doesn't have to be a world beater. If they can just be a smidge better in the biggest playoff games, in the biggest games of the year, I think that Buffalo can get the job done. I think eventually they will, because Allen's just too good to finish his career without a ring, I think. But their biggest thing has been their defense against Kansas City in those big moments. And they've done a lot to try to fix that. So I would also like to pick them, but I've done it the last 2 years and it's bit me in the butt. So maybe I'll stray away a little bit from it and hope that by not doing it, they prove me wrong. But they're going to be in the hunt, man. As long as they have a healthy Josh Allen, they're going to be one of those teams that you got to circle and put in that Super Bowl bubble.
What team from last season that was a playoff team and maybe got deep into the playoffs do you think will take a couple of steps back this year and miss the playoffs entirely?
Oh, that's good. I want to say Denver, just because Broncos fans already loved me so much for last year. I might say Denver, like, not to like just dwell on Bo Nix too much, but I do think that there is something to say for having a year of tape on a guy and being able to, you know, pinpoint some things that you can focus on. We saw it with Mac Jones. I don't think Bo Nix is going to fall off a cliff like Mac Jones. I think Sean Payton's too good of an offensive coach for that to happen, and their defense is going to be really good. But in that division where Kansas City's going to win it, the Chargers are still going to be good. The Raiders are going to be better. Like, that's a tough division to play in. So I think, you know, just playing in the AFC West, that's going to account for a good number of losses. And they're going to have a second-place schedule this year, I believe, or a third-place schedule. So it's going to be a little bit more difficult for them to get back. And we see yearly at least four teams that were in the playoffs the year prior end up not being in the following year because four new playoff teams come in. So I can see them being one. I don't think Detroit's going to fall out of the playoffs, but, man, no Aaron Glenn, no Ben Johnson, now no Frank Ragnow. Like, I think that there is an argument to be made that they are, you know, a wild card team as like the 6 or 7 seed because of all the things that they've lost. But that's still a roster full of talent, but also a roster that features a quarterback that has a ton to prove because, you know, Jared Goff, for all of the, you know, good numbers that he's put up over the last couple of years, he just had a goose egg against the Commanders in a game that they were heavily favored to win. And without that, you know, the offensive genius in his ear, how good is he going to be? We'll find out. But that's a team that I would also keep a very close eye on in the NFC.
Yeah, before you brought them up, I was thinking Detroit. And I hate to say that because everybody loves Dan Campbell. I mean, it's hard to not love the guy. But, I mean, you lose both coordinators who were fantastic for him. And, I mean, an all-pro center is now out of there. Like, I don't think I'll pick them to completely miss the postseason, but like you said, I think they definitely fall behind a team like Green Bay, for instance. But let's look at the flip side of this. Teams that missed the playoffs last year, maybe even teams that were downright bad, that get back into the playoffs in 25.
Yeah, I mean, I got the helmet right here hanging behind me. I think San Francisco will get back into the postseason. I wouldn't have paid Brock Purdy as much as they paid them, but look at their schedule, man. Like, it is an easy schedule. They're playing a last place schedule. You get a bunch of guys back from injuries, so I think that by just default, they're going to be better. There's some question marks still there, obviously. How good is Brandon Ayuk going to be? No Debo Samuel anymore. Is Ricky Pearsall going to be able to take that step forward and be the guy that they need him to be after taking him in the first round last year? And defensively, no more Drake Greenlaw, no more Hufanga. No more Javon Hargrave. So, like, there's a bunch of new faces there. They also drafted defensive interior very heavy this offseason, and they bring back Robert Saleh, who, you know, may not have cut it as a NFL head coach, but is one of the better defensive coordinators in the NFL, and I think that'll do a lot for that unit. So I think they'll get back into the postseason. Maybe win the NFC West. I think that schedule is going to do them a lot of favors. I still think the Rams are the best team in that division, but I think the 49ers have a very real chance to win that division just off their schedule alone. I'd like to talk myself into Jacksonville just because I'm a big Trevor Lawrence guy, and the last time that he had a fully healthy season, they won the AFC South and very nearly beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead. Last 2 years, he's been banged up, and really, things just kind of fell off a cliff with Doug Peterson. And, you know, having Liam Cohen come in, we saw what he did with Baker Mayfield in Tampa Bay, had a 40 touchdown season last year. And I think with the weapons at hand, Brian Thomas, Travis Hunter now as well, a good running back in Tank Bigsby. We'll see if Travis Etienne is still there. And I think defensively, they got to be better by default as well. I mean, their secondary was really bad last year. They're going to be putting a lot of expectations in Jerry and Jones opposite of Tyson Campbell. They bring in Jordan Lewis and nickel. So I think they'll be better. And if Trevor Lawrence can stay healthy and that offense can get going, I wouldn't be too shocked to see them maybe win the AFC South or sneak in as the seventh seed.
Speaking of bad defense, is a historically bad one in Cincinnati. Any chance that the big three on offense can lug that team into the postseason, or is the defense just way, way too bad?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to see what Al Golden at defensive coordinator looks like. I didn't love, you know, getting rid of Lou Anarumo. I know that he's not a perfect guy in terms of, you know, he didn't play a lot of their young talent, which drove a lot of Bengals fans insane. But in terms of defensive coordinators, I mean, we saw what he's done over the last half decade, especially against the Chiefs, which is, you know, one of the big reasons why that rivalry became what it was, is because the defense always played Kansas City pretty tight. But we're going to see, man. They were, I believe, 4-4 in games last year where they scored over 30 points, which is outrageous in terms of, like, if you score 30 points, you expect to win. And they were hovering around 500 when they did it. So you would think that those numbers would go a little bit more in favor of the offense and their record next year. They won 9 games a year ago with a really poor defense. It's going to come down to whoever bends the knee when it comes to these Trey Hendrickson negotiations, or lack thereof, I guess. If the Bengals just say, fine, we'll pay you, or if it carries into the regular season and he's not there. That's going to be kind of the biggest X factor for them. If Hendrickson's not there, what on that defense really scares you? I find it hard to find anybody who would keep opposing offensive coordinators up at night. Offensively, they're going to be awesome. We know that, but they have to be able to at least stop somebody a few times a game for their offense for that to mean anything and for them to win games.
Sneaky MVP pick for you.
Oh, sneaky MVP. I don't know. Maybe Michael Penix. I don't think that he'll do it, but I think he's going to have a fun year. Going back and watching the few games that he was in last year, the Commanders game in which he led the game-tying drive, the touchdown pass that he threw in just a pea of a window, played really well against Carolina. There is a little bit of inconsistencies with the accuracy and, you know, the arm getting a little bit away from him. But Penix is a guy that I'm kind of talking myself into. Atlanta, I would like to see them maybe take that step forward. Tampa Bay has been in control of that division for the last half decade or so. So that's something to watch. Drake May, I think, is another guy. We're talking about these second-year guys. I said that Drake May was going to be the best quarterback out of that bunch. Obviously, Jaden Daniels had a huge year last year. But Drake May
– As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Oh, we might be losing him here, Charlie. We might be losing him, and if that's the case, if he gets back on, just tell him we're all good, because we kept him for about 30 minutes here. I can't tell if he's still connected or not. So if he does reconnect, Charlie, just tell him thanks for hopping on. We got a couple of his sneaky MVP picks, but that was my last question to Jarrett Bailey from the Sporting News USA Today. He does work with Behind the Steel Curtain as well.
As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.